As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, it's great to be able to be here today. I bring you greetings from your sisters and brothers in Christ in the Southwestern Minnesota Synod. That's 240 congregations that stretch from Jackson to St. Peter up to Becker over the top of St. Cloud, Glenwood, and out to the bump into the Dakotas. All of these congregations, God is called to walk together, and I know they'd want me to greet you. We give thanks for your ministry here at Calvary. We're thankful that we've reached this milestone where your new lead pastor is being installed today. And I want to just take a moment before I forget later. If you're on the call committee or the council at this time, would you raise your hands? Yeah, we're really grateful for your leadership, and let's give them a hand for their service. Anyway, it's great to be able to be back in this area. Today's baptism of our Lord Day, and I'm going to work on the gospel lesson. Grace to you and peace, sisters and brothers, baptized into the life of Christ. Amen. Beloved, do you use that word very much? I use that word, and I know it's kind of odd, because it's a word that I use. Like if I was talking to Naomi and I was wondering how Todd's doing, I'd say, how's your beloved? So it's a word I use often, and it's a word that I use to talk about my wife, Robin. She's my beloved partner in this wild, holy, wonderful ride of journeying through life, and I'm so grateful for her. And when I use this word, beloved, it's a word that carries a sense of appreciation and closeness and commitment. And in today's gospel lesson, I don't know if you noticed it, but it showed up. In the voice from the cloud, God calls Jesus his beloved, right? So I'm going to draw attention to this word beloved at the beginning and at the end of my sermon. But Jesus, we learn in today's gospel lesson, has a unique and a decisive relationship to God. And the story is about John the Baptizer, and Jesus is baptized, and what God says to him, and also what God says to us, because in Christ we are grafted into all of the promises of God. So, I'm just curious. Today we're going to focus on pastors a little bit. We're installing a pastor, but you all know, right, that when you were baptized, I'm not sure if I can walk over to the font without getting in trouble with your camera, so I won't. But when you were baptized, did you know that you were called to be a minister of the gospel? So we often, in our way of being and doing church these days, we often think the reason the church exists is to gather enough resources to have pastors who will do ministry. But that's actually really different than how the early church thought about it and how our theology thinks about it. Actually, you're all ministers of the gospel. And your pastors are actually set apart for the distinctive work of equipping you and proclaiming the gospel and guiding and leading and coaching you as you seek to live out your faith in your everyday life. So when Jesus is baptized, I think Jesus is being connected to us. Jesus is being connected to us. John the Baptizer was baptizing people for a baptism of repentance. And when Jesus is baptized, God said to Jesus, You are my beloved, my son, I'm pleased with you. And when we are baptized, we're grafted into Christ. And God also says to you, each and every one of you, you are my beloved ones. So I'm curious, do you know where you were baptized? And I realize there might be people in the congregation that haven't been baptized. If not, then I want to invite you to think about being baptized. But do you remember where you were baptized? Why don't you whisper to somebody next to you or behind you or in front of you where you were baptized? We could mess with the sermon form this morning for a moment. Ready, set, go. And who stood up for you? Who are your sponsors? Do you remember their names? Because this is a day where we celebrate the fact that Jesus was baptized and that we have been baptized. So my story is I grew up by Belgrade, and I went to Crow River Lutheran Church on Highway 71 south of town, and I was baptized on August 11th, 1959. Now you know how old I am. It's a tough year coming. Anyway, and Monroe Anderson, my great-great uncle, and Elvine Ackander, who was my great aunt, stood up with me along with my grandparents, Jack and Myrtle Fries. And they stood up and they spoke for me because I was a baby. So that's where God got hold of me, and God will never let me go. And each of you in your baptism, that it's happened, or if it hasn't happened in your baptism, God gets hold of you and will never let you go. God chooses to begin the relationship with you. I'm a fan of infant baptism because at the time I was baptized, all I could do was eat, sleep, and fill my drawers. Right? That's all. I had no claim to God's grace or God's love. And I don't know when you were baptized, but when God claimed you, God chose to enter into a relationship, and God chose to make you a child of God. And God gave you an identity as a child of God, and God gave you a destiny to be a Christ follower, and ultimately, I trust we'll be united with Christ forever in the promises that we receive from our gracious God. In any case, in our spiritual lives, in the way we do Christianity today, we often make a lot about what we decided about God, or what we think about God, or what we feel about God, or what we do for God. But actually, on this baptism of our Lord Day, the thing I want to emphasize is it's what God has decided about you, to be in relationship with you, to love you, to work through your life as you live out your many callings. It's what God has decided about you that's ultimately decisive. And on bad days, when Luther was thinking he might get killed for the Reformation he started, or on bad days where he wondered if what he'd started was actually going to cause more trouble than it was going to lead to light, Martin Luther on bad days would say to himself, well, at least I know I'm baptized. At least I know God loves me. So why don't you say that with me? I'm a fan of audience participation in sermons. So here we go. Just I'll have you say, well, at least I know I'm baptized. Here we go. Ready? Well, at least I know I'm baptized. So the next time you're having a bad day, you're sitting in your car after a bad moment with your spouse, or you've had a bad moment with your kids, or you've had a bad moment at work, just look yourself in the mirror and say, well, at least I know I'm baptized, like Martin Luther. Because we're always God's children. God will never let go of us. And God's Spirit is at work in our life here and now. Now, in today's text, which is really a brief telling of the story of the baptism of Jesus, John talks about judgment, the language about straw and separating wheat from chaff. All of this people in the ancient world would have understood to be language about God's judgment, about deciding what's good and deciding what's bad, and that chaff, talking about that being burnt up, is a way of saying that God will ultimately judge us. It's a reminder of the fact that we're sinful and broken, deeply broken. In our way of doing Christianity today, we often think about personal sin primarily, about how I have blown it, what I have done wrong, something I failed to do. But actually, in the ancient world, they thought both of sin as something we do personally and also something that we do communally. like we're going to remember the civil rights movement in about a week and a few days. And when we do that, we're going to remember how our whole society was shaped and damaged by racist behavior. This morning while I was driving up here, I was listening to a book about leadership that was telling the story of Abraham Lincoln's life. Doris Kearns is her name, great historian. But she talks about how profound the issues of racism were and how courageous Abraham Lincoln was as a young man to say that he opposed slavery in a world that took it for granted. That's a form of communal sin, something we're all a part of that we're still trying to unwind even in our time, I think. I know I have to work on my racism that exists inside of me. That's a form of communal sin that I'm a part of, structural sin. And then there's personal sins, and my wife could tell you all about that, which I left her at home this morning. In any case, the language of this text talks about God's judgment, something we don't like to talk about so much. Talks about sin, something we don't like to think about so much. But the interesting thing is the good news of baptism is that God chooses to make things right between you and me and God. God chooses to be a force for reconciling, and God is at work in our midst through the work of the Holy Spirit. Christ's Spirit is inspiring this church and each of you as you live out your faith lives now. So like baptism, the water of baptism comes to us from the outside. God's grace comes to us from the outside and reminds us that God is for us, God is with us, and God wants us to turn around from anything that distracts us from being all that God wants us to be as individuals or as people. So I don't know if you are, how many of you are old enough to remember the civil rights movement? Do you remember that? I'm just old enough to remember it on TV. And Martin Luther King, who we'll talk about a little bit next week, Martin Luther King actually liked to use this language with the word beloved in it. I don't know if you've ever read about it. One of my friends asked me to read about Martin Luther King's thought about what he called the beloved community. He used this word over and over again. And his understanding of the beloved community was it would be the movement of all people working together to make this world a better place. It would be a movement, not a structure, not a government. It would be everybody working together to treat everyone else with respect and to build the world that God longs to see develop. In any case, when we think about being church, most of us think about church is the building, right? Just watch how we talk about it. And you all have a beautiful building. Really, you do. But the thing is that actually the church is more of a movement. So today, while we're installing your pastors, it's great. You've got some super pastors. I'm excited to meet Tim and excited to see his gifts begin to unfold in leadership here as I've watched Naomi and Dean serve for many years. But here's the secret. They're here to lead a movement. And Calvary is a part of I know you're a beloved community that looks out for each other and cares for each other and does important things in this world. But you're a part of a greater beloved community that is big as our church body, and you're part of a beloved community that's actually as big as this whole world. So always remember that you are beloved. You are a beloved community, and you are a beloved child of God. God's Spirit is busy in our lives and in our midst. For not only are you Christ's beloved, but this community is a beloved community, and all of that happens through Jesus our Lord, who we're grafted into in our baptism. So may God bless you as you live out the coming chapters of your life as individuals and as a community. Always remember, you are beloved. Amen.